Good evening and welcome, folks, to 7x70. Oh, I had a couple of notes here. I don't even know where to start tonight, but, I guess we'll start with prayer. That's always a good place to start. And, you know, if you find yourself maybe not knowing what to do, maybe you're confused. Maybe you're just not sure which way to go, not sure what to do. Well, you can always pray. You can always pray. And many times, you know, we have to remember that the Bible tells us, knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given to you. Now that doesn't work for the world and the people that love the world and the people that love being in and part of the world, that have it all together and have it all figured out. But you know, if sometimes you just don't know what to do, which way to turn, or how things are going to work out, well, you can always pray. And our Heavenly Father, so says His Word, He hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. We have to remember that. Well, let's go in prayer now. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for this beautiful day that You've given us, Lord. Snow this morning, cold weather. It's fall has arrived here in Wyoming, and we thank You for that, Lord. We do. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Father. I ask You to guide my thoughts, my words, that, Lord, they would not be mine, but they would be Yours. And that, Father, they would edify Your people. Lord, that they would bless Your people, that, Lord, we would be reminded of Your word and Your way and the promises that You have put forth for us. If we will but do what we need to do to claim those promises, we thank You for that, Lord. Father, we thank You for the safety for those in Texas tonight when the tornadoes have touched down and the floods have come, Lord. We've prayed earlier and we continue to pray for Your remnant in Texas, Lord. Keep them safe from these storms, from these tornadoes, from this wild weather, Lord, that comes upon us. Raining and flooding in November, and tornadoes in November, Lord, that's not very normal. But Lord, we pray for Your protection. We look to You for health, safety, and welfare, and we know that You, Jesus Christ, are the rock, our fortress in the storm. We pray that for our remnant in Texas, Lord. Be their fortress for them. Protect them. Father, be with us tonight. Guide and direct again my thoughts and words, and let all that we put out here, Lord, glorify You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And we will open the phone lines up tonight if you want to call in. 307-745-5913. By now, if you get our newsletter, you should have our Dragon Slayer Volume 7. And I can tell you Volume 8 is fast behind it. But if you don't have our Dragon Slayer, if you're not on our Dragon Slayer list, I suggest that you do get on the list. We have we'd be glad to mail it to you. We don't charge for the newsletter. There's certainly a cost to it, but we don't charge anybody a set price for it. And it is I think you'll enjoy it. Several good articles in here, full of scripture verses, and that's something that we have always done, that Pastor Peter's always did, and we're doing our best to continue on, is to put relevant scriptures out to you, the remnant, to help you in your daily walk. And so that's what we try to do here, to tend the sheep. And so we'd be glad to send you this Dragon Slayer Volume 7. This one has a real good article. I was very impressed with it, from the head engineer at WTWW in Lebanon, Tennessee, the shortwave station that we broadcast out on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's interesting to see. Now, this the comments that this head engineer from WTWW had, and also had a had an article on Halloween in here. You know, that's not a holiday for our people. It really isn't. And we need to awaken to that. Our complete broadcasting schedule is in here as well, the shortwave schedule. And I believe right now we're still out broadcasting on 9.475 on the shortwave. But at the end of this broadcast hour, at least this live hour, that will change. And that will change to the nighttime programming frequency, which is 5.830. But anytime during the day, you should be able to catch us on one of those two broadcasting frequencies. That's 9.475 and 5.830. So, again, if you don't have the Dragon Slayer newsletter, we recommend that you, if you'll write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, and say, hey, send me that newsletter, that Dragon Slayer. You know, and it comes, we get the term Dragon Slayer from Isaiah 27:1, and we read, it says, in that day the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, with his fierce and great and mighty sword, even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. And so, we are to be Dragon Slayers. Well, there's the phone line. We'll take a call early. Hey, good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Hi. You know, there's something that I wanted to comment on, you know, is as far as the country coming under condemnation by God, and of course this is because of the rampant sin in the nation.
Okay.
You know, the ministers in a good deal of the Judeo-Christian churches are highly responsible for promoting it with
Absolutely.
Their once saved, always saved doctrine, because they teach that you can sin, not only sin and have eternal security, but that you can even sin with impunity. You could even lead a lifestyle of sin. And this is the way that they're getting homosexuals into the pulpits, because, well, what's the difference? A homosexual can be a minister. He's saved as good as anybody else, because you have eternal, because once you come to believe, the second you come to believe, you're in for good.
Yeah.
You've got eternal security, and you can never lose any of that, no matter
just
what
believe.
You do.
And that's all.
See,
that's
what they're putting over on the people,
yeah.
and it just increases dynamically the level of sin, because the people are comfortable in their sin. The ministers tell them they can be.
Yep.
So, if you got a couple of minutes, I'd like to share a couple of gospel passages with you on this.
You know, and give me your name again. I know I've talked to you before.
Oh, this is Bob.
Bob, from Ohio?
Yes.
Ohio, see? I was halfway there. Well, good to
okay.
talk to you, Bob. Hadn't talked to you in a while. I am holding in my hand my notes on sin, okay? Because that was where I wanted to talk about a couple of current events tonight in the newsletter, and that's where I wanted to go. So how about that, Bob? So sure, I've probably got them down here as well. But yeah, by all means, share a couple scripture verses.
Okay. Bear in mind, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, and I don't know if it's my phone or if you don't have the audio
you're booming.
In there good enough on the phone line. It could be my phone.
You're coming
but, so
in
I'll just
real
go ahead. We'll
here.
Go to Galatians 5. Start with 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in past time, in time past, that they that which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's pretty clear right there. They shall not inherit the
Absolutely.
Kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, if you go back over to Romans, so 8, 9, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can take this one more back.
Absolutely.
To chapter 6 in Romans.
Uh-huh.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Now, I mean, those three verses right there, chapters, verses, lay out Paul's feelings. You don't see the once saved, always saved people.
Not at all.
Just love to trump out the you know, and twist Paul's writings and turn it into greasy grace.
Right.
But that's why I'm using just Paul right here, because Paul himself refutes all of this bunk that they're throwing out there.
Absolutely.
You're saved in the Spirit, but you can sin in the body. You can sin all you want in your body, because as long as in your mind you believe in Christ, you're saved. That you can't make that distinction that you can keep sinning in the body, no, and that your body is somehow separate from your mind and your soul, because the two are united. Your body will only do what your mind allows it and your soul allows it. And your mind and your soul is responsible for the deeds that you do in the flesh. So if you serve the flesh, you're not serving God. And, you know, it also tells you cannot serve two masters.
Yes, we can't. And the things of the flesh cannot please God. It's as simple as that. We have to be of the Spirit to be able to be pleasing to God. But you know, you bring up a good point, because these antichrist churches today, and that's what a Judeo-Christian church is, because they have put an antichrist before Christian in their very mantra. And it's a type of spell casting that they've done. But they don't, you know, they don't preach on sin. You know, the Bible defines sin as lawlessness in 1 John 3:4. Sin is lawlessness. And if we remember the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, and this is the words of Jesus Christ, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, which is sin. And you're absolutely right, Bob. These false preachers and teachers today are not preaching against sin. They're not saying, hey, you have to crucify self. They're not reading these verses here in Romans that say that, you know, shall we continue in sin so that grace may increase? They're not even told what sin is. You're right. They are absolutely lied to in these pulpits of America. And it sounds good today. It tickles their ears. They get 10 and 20 and 50,000 in on Sundays to some of these mega churches. And you know, there's many down in Colorado. We drove by one last Sunday afternoon after church, you know, some big cornerstone or crossroads or whatever. And you know, the churches are beautiful. They're beautiful. The landscaping, the parking lots are the best parking lots in the whole county. Beautiful landscaping. The building, you know, it couldn't be any nicer, but they're whitened sepulchers because they don't preach the truth of the gospel. You bring up a very good point here.
And this will surely bring the same condemnation down upon us eventually. These ministers are doing the same tactic as in a certain very slick way of what Balaam did to Israel.
Yeah.
Where he taught them to sin because he couldn't bring the curse down upon the Israelites. No, he couldn't.
No.
God told him he wasn't allowed to. But what he did is he got them to sin so that they brought the condemnation of God upon themselves.
Yep.
And that's what's going on in the pulpits these days. The ministers are teaching the people, yeah, it's okay to sin, go ahead. But look at the condemnation that's going to bring down upon, not upon just you personally, of course that, but you also as a nation.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. What's happening now, and I know we've talked about it before, but if you read back in Joshua 20, chapter 23, it's kind of the close of Joshua. He's getting old. He knows his time is short. And he gives instructions. He tells again the children what they are to do and what they're not to do. And he reminds them, you know, we always talk about Deuteronomy 28, the curses and the blessings. And as a nation, we are in the curses phase of Deuteronomy 28. There's no doubt about it. But Joshua 23 is another second witness, because there he reminds our forefathers, the children of Israel, of the blessings and the curses that they will face depending on their choice. And you know, there's nothing new under the sun. We have the same thing today. Choose you this day who you will serve. We get that from the book of Joshua. Who you will serve, you choose. If it's going to be the flesh, well, the wages, that's sin, and the wages of that is death. And it may feel good now, but, you know, there's going to be hell to pay come judgment day. You know, whatever that means to you. I remember our pastor saying, you know, whatever hell is, it's a hell of a place. You know, if you just think of a eternity apart from God, that's bad enough. But you cannot sin and get by. This is not taught in these church pulpits. It just certainly isn't. I on Wednesday morning I have been getting together with a neighbor, a cowboy, and they have a little men's breakfast prayer meeting, you know. And I've been going for a few months. And most of them go to the same church in town. There's two or three churches represented. And, you know, we pray and ask for prayer requests and talk about things. And but, you know, it's very rare that, you know, you'll hear a mention, oh, the pastor said this Sunday or the pastor said that Sunday. And I don't know that I've heard them talk about sin, you know, that...
they don't want their collection plates empty.
No, they don't. And it's just it is a shame, but you know, that was something that our pastor sure did, is by golly, he called sin, sin. And, you know, we're doing our best. We certainly don't hold a candle to him. We all know that as well as everybody does, but we know it as well, but we do our best to continue doing this very thing, saying this is what the Bible says. You don't want to hear Jesus Christ say, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, when I read that, you know, I don't have a theology a degree. I don't have a DD after my name, okay? I don't have anything after my name, just my name. But I can understand that. That if I practice lawlessness, then on the judgment day, Jesus Christ will tell me, depart from me, I never knew you. And I can say, but Jesus, I did this, and I did this in your name and that. But if I practice lawlessness, which is sin, then, you know, he is going to reject me. And that's what we try to get across to the people. Hello, wake up. Wake up, people. There is sin. Just because the Supreme Court okays it doesn't make it any different. Just because, you know, all the local governments out there are putting in all the transgender laws and you see interracial all over the place doesn't make it right. You know, transgressing his law is still sin. It hasn't changed. And if you practice that, you know, you read it from Galatians. You read it there. You know, the deeds or the lust of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, in Corinthians we see it in. And I got another caller. Caller, just hold on. We'll get right to you. But in 1 Corinthians 6, it's a second witness, I think, Bob, to what you read in Galatians. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now, why did he write that? Because they were deceived. Because the people of the day, the teachers of the day were, you know, they were sinning. They were not entering the kingdom and they were keeping other people out. And I'm glad you brought it up tonight, Bob, because that's exactly where we are today. Do
and
not
there's more. Christ
be deceived.
Didn't, you know, besides Paul as putting this out, people say, well, Christ was all about grace and mercy. But look at what he said in Revelations. I don't have that scripture right before me, but you remember when he was going through and he was speaking through John, or to John, and revealing to him about the seven different churches,
yeah,
what they were doing right and what
and,
they were doing wrong.
And what they were doing wrong.
Okay. And in at least two, three different places, he says, He right out condemns what the Nicolaitans were doing, and the same with Jezebel, who was teaching the people to fornicate.
Yeah.
The churches are teaching you to fornicate.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You know, you can be on your second, third marriage. It doesn't matter. Even after you've come to Christ, you know, you can be a homosexual and be out of the closet, and then, you know, you can be an adulterer and sit here in the pews and just do that with impunity. 50% of the people who say they're saved are committing adultery. We you know, that's what the polls tell us. But, you know, so. You know, and the ministers are promoting. The ministers are Jezebels. They're Balaams, and the Nicolaitans. What they were doing was they had twisted Nicholas's teachings. Nicholas was one of those deacons that were appointed by the apostles, in the book of Acts.
Yes.
And Nicholas had said that what was the saying that he did? But anyway, they completely perverted his sayings and what he was about.
Yes.
And turned it into a thing where they were actually teaching their followers to sin, because you would get so used to it that you get sick of it and then you wouldn't sin no more.
Yeah.
And Christ, through John in the book of Revelations, tells you, I hate that.
That
wasn't like, oh, well, I just love everything that you do, no matter what you do, and well, there's grace for all, you know, and well, just go ahead and go about doing what you're doing.
I agree.
But now, you know, also, it should go without saying that you can't have a demon in your flesh and say that you're saved in your spirit, and that your flesh and your spirit and your soul are walking two different paths and they're isolated from one another, and that the one isn't responsible for the other. That doesn't work. The passages that I read to you here totally refute that idea that you can be walking around as a saved Christian and have demons in your flesh and even have demons that say that Satan is Lord, but you're saved, you're born again, you're spirit-led. No, you can't serve two different masters. That doesn't work. You either have the demon in you or you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is who cleans you up. The Holy Spirit is who sanctifies you, and that's the cleaning up of you through your life. And that means doing away with the deeds that the devil would do to you through a demon. You follow me?
I do.
Somebody's wrong on that.
Well, Bob, we got another caller. Hey, I appreciate the comments. I didn't know if I was going to get to these notes on sin, but you sure brought it up to the forefront. I appreciate that. Good talking to you.
Okay, have a nice day.
You too.
Bye.
And we have another caller. Caller, thanks for holding. Welcome to 7x70.
Good evening, Richard. Tom, Texas.
Hey, good evening, Tom.
Good evening. I was listening to you and Bob talk, and that's spot on. I mean, you're right. That hyphenated Christianity, that Judeo-Christianity, I mean, sin's not taught in the pulpits because it's already in the pulpits.
Yeah, yeah, it's there.
You know, Esau, Edom conquered the man of sin on a white horse, the first seal, conquered on a white horse and conquered first and foremost the pulpits. And really, the scroll of seals and what Pastor Peter's teachings on the what aspect of society affects another aspect of society and psyche and so on, the religious leaders of the people affect the spiritual condition of the people and
yes,
the political condition and so on. And really, that's a progression of the scroll of seals, I mean, at least my understanding of it. You know, a red horse in communism, socialism, look where it goes down from there. Commercialism, judicialism, a black horse or a pale horse. You know, pale in Greek means green, and, you know, fascism, green is incorporated in every military's color scheme, just for sake of symbols and colors and such. You know, and if you break down Ezekiel 38, Psalm 83, in even in light of their own writings, Edom is in Modern Jewry, Jewish Encyclopedia, 1925.
Oh,
you
know, exactly,
and where are these
are.
Jews from? You know, the land of Magog, which was in the territories listed in Genesis 10:2, Ezekiel 38. And who are the forces of Gog and Magog? Nothing more than the forces of Judaism and Islam that are taking over the mountains of Israel, the nations of Israel,
and
the dispersion of James 1:1 and John 7:35.
And they certainly are doing that. The invasion going on.
I listened to an ad on. I listened to AM radio day when I was on the road, and Michael Savage, which I kind of don't really care for too much. They might have good talking points, but they're not on point. There's a difference,
right?
One of the ads in there is talking about Gog and Magog and the nations of Israel and how the nation of unwalled villages couldn't possibly fit, the Zionist state over there. And but they didn't say who it was, but obviously, you know, we know who it is, the J-R-U-S-A-L-E-M.
Amen.
You know, this...
And while we're on that,
also tried to say that, the war of Gog and Magog is at the end of the millennial reign. Well, the forces of Judaism and Islam will rise again after that 1,000 years. But they're in progress right now.
Yes.
The best understand who and what they are.
We draw closer every day to that final battle. But, yeah, the forces are hard at it now.
Like, I've wrote you emails about, you know, I read a lot of different things as saying, like, about the crescent moon of in the Sumerian tablets of, you know, if the Muslims worship him, I don't believe they do. They worship themselves. They worship their devices after their own crafting. You know, Catholicism gives itself, you know, worships itself, and then Beauport just worships himself, but gives him Christian-sounding names.
Right.
Same thing with Islam, that gives themselves some Aryan-sounding names, but, you know, they don't care. You know, it's all just systems of tyranny and control that they, you know, of, you know, like this, what Muhammad was, a rapist, a murderer, a thug.
A pedophile.
Yeah, pedophile, you know, a lot of other adjectives.
Yes. Well, we know
given here, a false prophet. Period.
Jesus Christ himself said that if you're not for me, you're against me. And if you don't gather to me, you scatter. And, you know, if we're reading in John right now in the November Bible reading plan, we've gotten through the end of Luke and we've started in John. And, oh, what a glorious book John is, how he just points out in the words of Christ, how it points out that, like he says here at the end of John 6, no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. And when you read on through here, you see that Christ and the Father are one. And, you know, Jesus, his own words affirm that. That he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy here in John 10. I came that they may have life and have life abundantly. And, you know, you don't see abundant life in Islam. You don't see abundant life anywhere except in Christianity. These Muslims, these towel heads that are killing our people, they had another stabbing.
California. He had Muhammad hidden in his name.
Yes, and you see a picture of him.
Muhammad Blau, whatever, same difference.
He looks just like...
They like to name their children after that false
they
prophet.
Do.
Because they're just all they are is creating a carbon copy of, you know, what kind of a savage scumbag he was.
And they, this guy looked just like, I mean, it was a strong resemblance to the towel raghead that killed the four Marines earlier this year. In what was it, Chattanooga? I had a note on that shot him at the recruiting station.
Recruiting station.
Yeah, you know, and what do we hear from our leaders when that happens? Oh, we have to be cognizant of their religion.
We cognizant of it.
Yeah.
It is a religion that does not, just like Muhammad was. He does not know the God of his fathers, nor does any Muslim.
No, they do not serve our God. They do not know our God. God is not Allah. Remember that, remnant. God is not Allah. Allah is not God. Our God is Jesus Christ. You read that.
Tablets.
You read that in John 17. You know, he says that you know, the Father and I are one. Now, you know, that's not Allah. Our people have been all but brainwashed into that.
And you know, see how Muslims, they like to destroy everything biblical, but they also like to destroy ancient, you know, relics and stuff, because the reading that I've done and things of that nature, about ancient tablets, kind of an intriguing thing. You know, you put past and present together and really get a good concise understanding of it. You see why they want to destroy those ancient tablets, ancient writings, ancient, you know, whatever, relics of a past age, because it's a testimony against them. Muslims are destroyers, you know, of truth, and they don't. There's no truth in them.
Amen.
Quran's fit for nothing but fuel for a fire.
Amen.
Burn bands over here. I need to get me some more of them.
Well, Tom, good talking to you. Hope
God bless you, Richard. Yep. I'm glad to hear you live tonight. I don't get to listen to many live programs with my work schedule, but thank you for all your prayers, your support, and love. God bless you all, and God bless your family and all.
And you, Tom. God bless, and thank you, sir. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, a couple interesting callers. You know, the remnant has truly eyes to see and ears to hear. Christianity in Europe, Christianity in America is under attack, has been under attack. Another stabbing from a Muslim raghead anti-Christ Muslim college student, an 18-year-old college freshman at a California campus, California Merced, Faisal Mohammed. The best thing that came out of this is that he was killed by University of California police. It said they described by at least one witness that he was smiling as he slashed four victims. He stabbed four victims. He got a knife in there. Couldn't get a gun in, but he got a knife in there. And when are you going to wake up, America? When are you going to wake up? This certainly isn't the first attack, and it probably won't be the last. I don't think it will. Well, we talked about sin tonight. Wasn't going to go that direction that early, but we did. Remember, 1 John 3:4. We, you know, as many people should know this as do John 3:16. You know, one of these verses is not any more important than the other. But 1 John 3:4 says, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." Sin is lawlessness. And we read earlier, let's go back over there. I think I've got time to read this here. Let's see. Let me get over there. I think it is. Yeah, it's Matthew 7. We read that. Matthew 7, verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Many will. Did you hear that? Many who do the will, not believe the will. It doesn't say those who believe in my Father in heaven. It doesn't say those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. But he who does the will, who is a doer of the word. And by God, the word says, don't sin. So if you're sinning, you're not doing the will of God. Many will say to me on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And what is lawlessness? Lawlessness is sin, according to 1 John 3:4. You know, we practice many things. We don't practice public speaking enough. We probably should practice a little more before we try to do it. But that's one thing that many people practice. You know, children practice sports to get better at it. We may practice our golf swing if you like to golf. We're into fall and winter. We're certainly not golfing out here. You may, if you're going to go do a little bird hunting, you know, you may go practice with the skeet and the trap machines and practice your swing and that type thing to get a good lead on the bird, okay? We practice many things. There's nothing wrong with that. And normally, the more we practice something, the better we get at it. But as Bob from Ohio brought up, many of the Judeo-Christian, and the Judeo denies Jesus Christ. Understand that. If you go to a church that calls itself a Judeo-Christian church, if you think you follow a Judeo-Christian ethic, let me tell you something. The pilgrims weren't Judeo-Christians. They were Christians. There was nothing before the Christ in their faith. A Judeo-Christian religion is a false religion. It is not the religion this country was based on. And if you practice sin, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ says, He will tell you face to face, He never knew you. Doesn't matter what you did in His name. So if you're practicing sin, if you're doing it day in and day out, and think you can get away with it, you can't. It's as simple as that. You cannot sin and get by. You can't. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so, do you practice lawlessness? Do you practice sin? If you do, practice and practice and practice, trying your best to get better and better and better at it, ignoring the words of Jesus Christ. And if that's where you're at, brother or sister, you need to stop and you need to change your ways. And it's called repent. Because if you don't, you will hear those words from Jesus Christ. Oh, it may be fun now, living the high life. But if you're practicing sin, you better repent while you can. You know, we read here in Matthew 7 today, but Matthew 7 also talks about strive to enter into that narrow gate. And it is truly a narrow gate, you know, it is. And we are to strive. That's what we are to practice for. That is what we are to do our best to do. And not practice lawlessness. You know, our society today, boy, it's all just please yourself. It's all self, self, self now. But that sin, you know, that sin for a season, it is not worth it. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. And you know, everybody should know that scripture as well as they know John 3:16. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And since all have sinned, all must die. So says the Word of God. That sin must be atoned for. It must be paid for. You know, no one sins and gets by. Back in Exodus 32:30, Moses says to the people, "You have committed a great sin, and now I'm going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." See, nobody sins and gets by. And you know, Moses made atonement for their sin then. Today, only Jesus Christ can make atonement for our sins. Not Allah. Not Buddha. Not the Book of Mormon. Nothing. Can atone for our sins except the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, John the Baptist recognized that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In John 1:29, we read that. And in Acts 22:16, we read, "And now why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. That was the Apostle Paul, who was converted from Saul, the Christian persecutor, who persecuted and killed, or at least approved the killing of Christians. And he here in Acts 22:16 gives the true biblical plan of salvation. The Apostle Paul telling of how to be forgiven for your sins. Why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. You know, it's no different today. You do, as we said earlier, you choose this day who you will serve. You know, the fool, Proverbs 14:9 says, fools mock at sin. And it's as true today as it was then. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. And so you choose you this day. You can be like the fool, say there's no God. You can be the fool that just mocks at sin, laughs at it. Oh, it's not bothering me. Oh, strike me dead, blah, blah, blah. You can be that fool and mock at it, and you'll receive the fool's reward. You read Joshua 23. That's the reminder. Read Deuteronomy 28. And Remnant, if it's you that's listening in, you know these things. But remember these scripture verses to share with your friends, with your family. Tell them, read Joshua 23. Look at the warning he gave them then. Read Deuteronomy 28. What does society today, where are we at? Are we being blessed or are we being cursed? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the choice is yours, Remnant. It's for each and every one of us. We choose who we're going to serve, and we choose whether we're going to live in sin or not. Well, wow, we are all but out of time. I want to thank you, Remnant, for joining us tonight. We thank all of those of you out there that support us with your prayers and your financial offerings, and that's the only way we are able to continue these broadcasts. Thanksgiving is coming up at the end of the month. Hopefully next week we'll talk to you about the true Thanksgiving story. We have a treatise that we've retyped and reset up called Thanksgiving, the True Story by Pastor Peters in full color. It's a great treatise, bookmarked with facts, and it is the true story of Thanksgiving. And we have that available because, you know, the true story of Thanksgiving is a story of the pilgrims. The pilgrims who viewed their coming to America as a fulfillment of Bible prophecy and viewed themselves as the true children of Israel. If you don't know this true story of Thanksgiving, you got time to write and request this Thanksgiving treatise. In Volume 8 of our Dragon Slayer newsletter, we also have a Thanksgiving Truths packet. It's available on our website, scripturesforamerica.org. And it includes this treatise by Pastor Peters. It also includes the very true and accurate historical American Christian history book, The Light and the Glory, by Peter Marshall and David Manuel. And it also includes the three CDs that Pastor Peters did and researched and brought on Thanksgiving. And we have all that available. It's on our website. You can go to the SFA store, type in the Thanksgiving Truths packet, and it'll bring it up and show you what's there. And you have time now to order it and get it in for Thanksgiving. We hope you do. We'll talk a little bit more about that next Thursday on 7x70. The good Lord willing and the creek don't rise. And we'll sure plan on doing that. We want to encourage you to come back Friday night. We'll have another broadcast at this 7 o'clock Mountain Time Friday night. And make a plan for it Saturday morning. Join us for a coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're planning on having some guests on Saturday morning. So we do ask you to join us there. Well, going to go out with a Clint Miller song. You can get his music at clintmiller.com. www.thebibleinstitute.com.
We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta walk, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming in. Living in a wicked world made by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warm, we gotta win. As the days of Noah were, will come the Son of Man. Eating, drinking, marrying, just doing all they can. Then one day the Lord will come, we'll hear that trumpet sound. The lost will look for the saved, but they will not be found. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming again. Living in a wicked world plagued by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. God told Noah, make an ark out of gopher wood. Noah being warned of God, he did just like he should. God said, Noah, bring them in two by two. Hey, Noah, don't you forget your wife and children too. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming in. Living in a wicked world plagued by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win.
And Remnant, if you like this music, this is ClintMiller.com is where you can order this music. ClintMiller.com.
Noah and his family, they said goodbye to friends. Grabbed all the animals and then they entered in. 7 days, seven nights, they waited for the rain. Then the sky had opened up and for 40 days it came. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming again. Living in a wicked world plagued by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. All the flesh upon the earth that died and went away. Noah and his family, well, they were all okay. Noah sent forth a dove looking for dry land. God pulled the waters back and sent a helping hand. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming again. Living in a wicked world plagued by sin. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. We gotta walk, we gotta work, we gotta warn, we gotta win. Jesus Christ has said that he is coming again.